I feel, okay, look, there's no way to say what I'm about to say without sounding like an asshole.
Yeah, go for it.
This is a safe space, right?
Yeah,
the internet
yeah, yeah,
is a safe
yeah.
space.
Oh, totally, yes. Totally.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Top Chef Fantasy League, the podcast for people who watch Top Chef and go, needs more competition. I'm your host and commissioner, Mike Cablon. With me, as always, are my co-hosts and competition, Sierra Kato and Ify Wadiway.
Woof.
Hello, hello.
Woof, woof.
We're recording this so late.
Oh, yeah.
I think we're all tired. It's going to be a real loopy episode.
Oh, yeah.
Good, good.
And we're early in the season, so we're setting the bar nice and low. First order of business I want to get to is a correction from last week.
Ooh.
Because last week we talked about Brian Mullarkey being a union buster.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Besmirched his name.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I did the research. I was wrong. I was the one who said it, and I was wrong. So I'll be the first to admit it is not Brian Mullarkey. It was John Tazar.
Oh.
John Tazar is a union buster. Shame on John Tazar. Brian Mullarkey, by all accounts, seems like a really nice guy.
Okay.
He has a line of cooking oils called Chef's Life, where a portion of the proceeds go back to a charity that benefits the hospitality industry. So I would argue Brian Mullarkey, the opposite of the union buster.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Really helping folks.
Yeah,
so,
uplifting.
All right.
Apologies.
I'm glad we cleared up the Mullarkey.
Yeah, yeah. It's always Tazar.
It's always
Tazar. It's
always Tazar. All right. Back to our first episode, season 21
yes.
of Top Chef. Initial reactions. How are we feeling about our teams, just like personality-wise? We'll get to performance later.
I mean, you know, it's... We know that this was a rough episode for me and my team. Two out of the three people eliminated were people from my team. One was expected. The other was one of my front runners.
Yeah.
And they seem shaky.
Your second round pick, right?
Right. On the bottom, not eliminated.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
Right. That was reserved for my team,
yes,
unfortunately.
Yes. But real fun episode. What do we think about the new rules?
Ooh. Yeah, it kind of dives right in. I feel like, you know, like the trailer suggested, it's like, hey, we're doing all things different now.
Yeah.
Kristen Kish is in charge. We've got, you know, no immunity or the quickfire doesn't have the immunity.
Yeah.
And this particular episode didn't have a quickfire. So definitely felt new,
weird,
felt fast paced.
Yeah. Wow. I was going to say the opposite. To me, it felt because the part of the new thing was the new episode length, an hour and 15 minutes. And I was like, without a quickfire, this feels so fucking long.
Yeah.
I'm like, I really hope that the extra 15 minutes is like used well the rest of the season.
Oh, interesting.
You know what I mean?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But it did feel fast in that, like, we dove right in.
Dove right in.
We
yeah,
just barreled
I felt
straight
very much
past.
Like, oh my God, I'm not ready.
Oh, yeah.
Where's my little cushion of quickfire?
Yeah. What do we think of Kristen Kish as a host?
Oh, digging it.
Yeah.
I think Kristen Kish is pretty great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Big fan.
Yeah, I feel like she already is a great host. I've seen her host some other shows, Restaurants at the End of the World on National Geographic.
Mm-hmm.
You're one of the 12 people in America who watches the National Geographic
channel.
Hey, it's
pretty
cool.
There are only 6 episodes.
Yeah.
It's on Disney Plus, so I don't have the channel.
Okay,
don't
right.
worry.
Okay.
But yes, and I think she, you know, it seems like they all have good rapport because she was a contestant. She was a winner, so.
Yeah. I appreciated that she was able to draw on her experiences and be like, well, my first challenge was soup or whatever, which is why I'm going to challenge you with soup. And she would do that a few times throughout the
good
episode. So I think that was. Yeah, that was really nice. She did say that she got goosebumps twice, and I was like, uh-oh.
Oh, yeah.
We've got a possible front runner for, like, a catchphrase.
Oh, yeah.
Kristen
Kish.
Goosebumps Kish, as
they call
her. Yeah.
R.L. Stein.
Oh, yes. Well, yeah. Trademark, copyright.
Yeah.
And the other... I took notes. The only other note I wrote for just, like, overall stuff. I don't know if you guys watch it live. Did you also get a bunch of commercials for Wisconsin?
No, I did not. I DVR'd it with YouTube TV,
mm-hmm.
and so I think they're a little more general with their commercials. They don't do too many like local stuffs, but
yeah.
I wish I did get it.
I might have missed some of those. I was kind of running around maybe during commercials.
As one is supposed to
you
do.
You gotta. But listen, I'm all for it. I feel like the whole episode was a beautiful advertisement for Wisconsin.
Oh, yeah. The whole season is going to be a great.
Oh, yeah.
We opened on like B-roll of cows. It was like, of course, welcome to Wisconsin.
Yeah, we're here.
Yeah.
You know?
The cows roam free.
If you did watch it live at home, let us know how many Wisconsin commercials you saw. Because in my household, we got like 2 or 3.
Wow.
And it felt like Wisconsin either paid for Top Chef to come to Wisconsin, or they heard that Top Chef was coming to Wisconsin. They're like, we got to double down, get all of our tourism dollars onto Top Chef.
Yeah, I mean, and good for them, because I think they need to get the word out, because for the longest, I definitely didn't think Milwaukee was in Wisconsin.
Oh, yeah.
I thought it was in Minnesota.
Kind of main one.
Milwaukee, Minnesota. Kind of their... It does have the right, it has the cadence of like, of course.
I mean, Minneapolis is right on the border of Wisconsin and Minnesota, so that's also confusing.
It might have been it.
Maybe that's what's mixing me up, the geography of it all.
Ugh. Crazy town. Crazy state.
Well, let's just dive in. Let's go beat by beat. Let's go over the episode. Like you said, we skipped right over the quickfire, which again, insane choice. Before we even start the challenge, David talks shit about Tom's hat game.
Tough. Off to a rough start.
How are you feeling about David overall as the person who drafted him?
Even now, like with the knowledge that he got eliminated,
Guess walk me through like pre-elimination and post-elimination thoughts and feelings.
I mean, yes, he was dishing out sort of the hat thing, and then there's a comment later on where he was saying like, "Well, pasta's not my thing." After he did the pasta challenge,
which. Two things there. One, what? Who doesn't like pasta?
Yeah. I know, it's a
and
big
two,
thing.
As Tom pointed out, if you're going to be on Top Chef, you're going to be doing a lot of things you don't like.
Right. Yeah. That can't be. And I think what the big takeaway too was like, oh, it's the immediate defensiveness. I think that can be like a tell of like, oh, this person might not be super comfortable failing, and like that's going to be tough to move forward in Top Chef.
Yeah, that's what was so interesting watching him this episode is. Just seeing how he just kind of like quivered under pressure. He kind of just like was going all over the place and very defensive. It felt like he thought he was going to be like, I know the timing might not have worked out for this, but it felt like he saw the bear and he's like, I'm going to be Carmy.
Yeah.
I'm
going
to be Carmy on Top Chef.
Right.
He definitely came in with like, white guy energy. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
And I mean that derogatorily. Oof. Like overly confident and just not really prepared to do the actual work.
Yeah, oh, 100%.
Some Tazar energy.
Did real John Tazar energy.
Tazaring up the place.
Oh, no.
No, I don't want to talk too much. I mean, like, I've never been to his restaurant. I do want to try it. I'm sure he's a great chef under other circumstances. But like you said, I think that an element of this competition is like TV readiness.
Yes.
And I think that, so coming back to just like general observations about the show, I don't know if they're going to do this every time, but I thought it was interesting that they put the judges right next to the kitchen.
They could see everything.
Oh, no. And that's like an added layer of
psychological, I mean, even with like the loose knowledge of like, restaurant culture, I was like, I feel like that just takes you to a, like, almost like when you go to your parents' house and you regress. I feel like there's like a level of like, I'm back to being a line cook. Like, I gotta impress them.
Daddy Tom is watching over me.
Really? Yeah. They're watching. And then I think especially with that final challenge, like David was front and center with kind of the chaos.
Yes.
Yeah. And when he was also... saying that he didn't know what he was doing, I think it just wasn't setting up, for like
because
much
his
confidence.
Dish to me didn't look or sound that bad.
No,
it was like shrimp and tomato
like,
with a green sauce.
Okay.
I think you're right. Where I was more surprised with how it looked based on what I heard.
Yeah.
Sure.
And I think seeing him kind of crack under pressure left a bad taste in their mouth.
Yes.
Right.
Before they even tasted it.
Yeah. They watched him rinse off shrimp in the sink. And that's a real like, I already am not going to like whatever you put on this plate, even if it's objectively good. So the challenge is three different challenges, essentially, which is sort of like on paper. I get why they're like, we don't need a quick fire. This is going to be so big. It's three elimination challenges, but still felt long to me.
Oh, yeah.
But Kristen tasked her team with making soup. Gail tasked her team with making stuffed pasta. Tom tasked his team with making roast chicken. Gail introed hers by saying, I want you to make a dish that is messed up the most on Top Chef. And I was like, say risotto.
Me too. I'm glad I wasn't the only one who thought that. I was like, okay, here it is.
Yeah. That was one of my close calls for this episode. Another one of my close calls, Manny was immediately like, I'm going to use a pressure cooker. And I was like, oh no. No, Manny, don't do it.
Yeah.
Next thing he brings out the ISI. What's he going to do?
Yeah, exactly.
It was close, too. He almost didn't have enough time and then ended up having the best dish,
You
love that. We love that story.
Love to
Good
see
surprise.
It. I also love Manny more and more.
Oh, yeah. He's running out to be a favorite.
When I picked him on the basis of him being handsome, I was like, I stand by that. But then he showed the picture of him like playing bass when he was a teenager. And I saw his little like barbell earring. I'm like, this is my fucking guy right here. You know what I mean? I love Hell Manny. Yeah. People are making all kinds of stuff. Two people make stuff gnocchi. I wrote a note because that like raised a flag in my head.
Yeah.
Have you guys ever had stuffed gnocchi?
No, I haven't. When he said gnocchi, I was like, huh? And then she was like, I'm doing that too. And I was like,
yeah, I was like, this must be a thing in the chef's
yeah.
world.
Yeah, I thought it was like a cover for like, is it ravioli?
Right.
And then they're like, it's like a little thick, so maybe we're doing gnocchi now. Yeah. You know, I don't know, but
and then in the end, one of them got burned by it. Your boy.
Both of them. They both had bad dishes. I mean David
that was
worse,
the one where, I feel like it looked like a ravioli, and then you're trying to market as a gnocchi. Yeah. Who knows?
Well, you know, one of my chefs did come out on top for the pastas. I was real excited.
That was big.
I'll admit I was wrong. I was skeptical.
It was worth being skeptical, and I think that was very good for her. I think what's interesting about her is I feel like her and Amanda are on different ends of the same spectrum right now, where she's coming as a pit master, kind of had these apprehensions about stepping into the wide chef world when she's like, I've been a pit master all these years, mm-hmm. and has been praised for how well she did. And I think she's coming into this next episode with a lot of confidence. Whereas Amanda, I can just see her flip-flop on her seasoning because she made it too salty. Mm-hmm. And then in the final elimination, she was like, I kept tasting it. Mm-hmm. And they were like, there was no seasoning.
Yeah.
I was like, you got to figure something out. Because
I think that's real classic, like, episode one jitters.
Yeah,
I think that happens a lot where people just, like, they freak out and then they level out by episode two or three. Because nothing that Amanda made seemed bad.
Yeah.
It was just... for her soup, they said the gremolata at the bottom was too salty.
Yes.
Which, by the way, gremolata at the bottom of a soup, I was like, I love that. That's such a baller move.
Oh, yeah.
I love getting to the bottom of a soup and there's a little crunchy down there. You know what I mean? That's a fun trick.
Yeah.
But that just also makes me think that it could have been another component and not actually the seasoning. Because that's what, with cooking, you know, it can always, you know, there's so many things that can just immediately, like, switch it up where it's like, oh, this element might add a different element. Or when I did Mythical Kitchen, I did like a contest where it was like try and convince
this is your version of being like, I went to Harvard.
Yeah, you know.
When I did this other cooking show.
We learned the hard way that when you put acid lemon with truffle, it kind of has like a
gets
taste.
Gross.
That's where Jordan Merrick, was able to identify it as my dish. I will say that I was never going to put lemon in it, but the suggestion of Lily, who was a chef, was like, oh, don't you want an acid? And I was like, sure, I guess.
With truffle.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
I see.
Yeah.
Interesting. Well,
maybe we live and learn. Wanted to do that to throw me.
A little sabotage?
Ooh. Yeah, a little sabotage.
Wow,
but
shots fired.
All that whole side tangent story is just to say, like, I think that she was in her head about the seasoning when I think the seasoning might not have been the problem.
Interesting.
Sure. Yeah,
I agree. She herself said as she was cooking, I'm making a pasta dough because she wanted to make chicken dumpling, and she's like, and I'm roasting a chicken, even though she was in the soup category. And so I think she just did like I really want to impress everyone, but
doing
ended up
much.
Like biting off more than she could chew.
Yes.
But I mean, back to Michelle too, I think like what was fun about the narrative for her is they were being like, oh, she's nervous. And so I was like, oh gosh, are they going to like, is she going to go home? Like, this is a lot. But then in classic, you know, twist Top Chef fashion, she won the pasta challenge. And I loved the thin pasta. How they loved the thin pasta. And she was really like working that. So
yes,
that was very fun. I love that.
Shout out to Michelle. You did good line. For your team.
We love Michelle. Other people in the pasta category that I took note of, Rossica also made something the judges said was not a pasta. Which is such
a
bummer.
Dumpling,
I mean, they
I
said
guess.
That about
it
David.
Kind of looked, oh gosh.
David,
yeah.
They said for stuffed gnocchi,
both
was neither
stuffed
nor a gnocchi.
Yeah, that was
wonderful
savage.
Team time happening.
Yeah, you're doing great.
Thank you.
Look, anything could change. It's early in the season.
It is. But I gotta say, I mean, and I texted you guys this, but it is like so much more exciting watching. As a longtime watcher, more exciting doing fantasy
yes.
league
with it.
I should have led with this at the top of the episode. What was your experience first time doing fantasy that you were like invested in, not just like I picked at random? You know what I mean?
Oh my God. Yeah. So much better. Cause I think it's just, especially at this level of Top Chef where you have so many contestants and you don't know who to care about. And I've always gone in just cold, right? So we got to research everybody before, we got to read some bios and pick teams. And so then I'm not only rooting for some people, I know who Manny is, you know, I'm like, oh, Michelle has, oh wow, she pulled through. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So, but also, and then my own team. So when David's on the bottom, I'm like, oh, please don't go home. And then sure enough, you know, he does. So
I mean, that's, you're so right too, because especially I feel like for the first episode, for shows like this, I feel like it takes a few episodes to get invested because you have to, you know, you get the backstories and all this. And with the way that we've done it, like right from the jump, I know who I'm looking for, looking out for. I know we talked about everyone's specialties. Way more exciting.
Because we don't have, like in sports, you have like, if for the NFL, you're watching the combine. You know what I mean? You're like getting to see them in action before you actually draft anyone. I will say in this part of, this is, I think, maybe part of the like extra 15 minutes of edit time. I love that up top, there's just like that get to know you. Do you know what I mean?
Sure.
All the chefs just like clinking glass and being like, I'm an Aquarius, you know? And I was like, I love that we're getting their personalities.
Oh, yeah.
That was very fun. And then also we were talking about, I feel like the awkward moment of Kalina Bliss being like, and I'm the only Asian here. And like, oh no, there are actually more Asians here.
Yeah. I feel like that was pretty funny. speaks pervasively to large swaths of the Asian American community.
Oh yes, yes. Something we toil and are working on, I think.
It's like I like didn't even put it in my notes. I'm like, truthfully, I could unpack that for hours.
No, like, I know. I got
we
the,
could go on another Asian
talk
podcast.
Talk about goosebumps.
Yeah. Well, I got goosebumps.
I got goosebumps, Kristen.
Yeah, no. The other impression, the huge impression I got was like, oh, Dan is emerging as a real like dweeb.
Okay,
Like,
he was like, hey guys, welcome to my part of the woods.
He has real like little brother energy. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
He, I'm trying to remember the bits. It was like they were shopping and he went to the meat counter and he looked at me and he's like, hey, I'm from Wisconsin, so help me out here. And I'm like, buddy, you're in a grocery store in the middle of Wisconsin. The guy at the deli counter is not going to cut you a deal because you're from the state that you're in.
Right. I think he is too.
Yeah.
I feel like that's what he thinks is going to give him like the screen time edge. Is like the more I talk about Wisconsin, the more they're going to want.
He's right.
It's true. Yeah. They love that.
Yeah. And it's not even like unlikable. I don't hate him. I'm just like, Dan, come on. You know what I mean? Like when they announced who the guest judges were, I remember he was like, I know them. And it was like,
oh yeah.
Oh buddy. Yeah. Oh, those guys.
Well remember, because that was this whole thing too, where he's like, you know, I know you guys. So I wanted to speak to the restaurant. I was like, okay, no one likes a teacher's pet.
Yeah.
You're in
it
here.
It is so funny. Oh man.
You might as well be like, Lisan Al Gaib, you know, like that's the energy he had.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. Lots of.
That's a Dune reference for Dune. Anyone who's Dune 2.
Chicken category. Danny. Can we talk about Danny? Really scared me because he had basically room temperature chicken. He stuck the thermometer in halfway through the competition. He goes, oh, no, I'm at 72 degrees. I'm like, 72 degrees is what you get when you're not cooking chicken.
Yeah.
You leave chicken out, it's at 72 degrees.
Honestly, I almost blacked that out of my memory because it was so traumatic. Because, again, he's on my team. He's my top pick. I've got David running around insulting judges. I've got Ruska making dumplings instead of pasta.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, okay, well, at least I still got my guy, Danny.
Yes.
He's got, you know, just training up the wazoo. He's got all the awards. And then here he is, you know, struggling with the roast chicken, which of course is a difficult dish.
Yeah.
Of course, of the three categories, hardest one, I think.
Well, when he said specifically he wanted white and dark meat, I was like, oh, this is a very good challenge.
Yeah, right?
Sure. Because so technical.
Like, when he was like, well, we're going to do something, I thought he was going to say steak.
Yep.
But he was like, nah, we're going to roast the chicken.
Yeah, yeah.
But gosh, I mean, yeah. And then, you know, Danny's supposed to be the guy who would kind of know all the technical things.
Yes.
Temperature should be immediate. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that was nerve-wracking.
But to your credit, as a pick, he pulled it out. He saved it. Like, he literally went from, oh no, I'm in the danger zone, to being the top dish in his category.
Which I think is total credit to him and his training. And, you know,
speaks to his talent level.
Yeah, being able to kind of work under a lot of pressure. So, but yes, when you brought that up at first, I was like, oh yeah, I think I blacked that out. That was deep in the recesses of my mind.
Yeah. And you know, my guy, what's his? Is he also Dan?
The other Asian?
Yes.
Or one of the other Asians?
Oh, Kevin.
Kenny.
Kenny Nguyen.
Kenny, I feel bad because I feel like if he didn't just not do the...
If he would have played it.
Yeah, if he would have played it he would have had the dark and white meat, he would not have been on the chopping block.
Because he was like a pho butter.
Yes.
It was like a hoisin sriracha butter. I'm like... Fuck yeah, Kenny. Yeah. I absolutely
and
want that.
And they said it. They were like, there's no dark meat. Yeah. And so they were like, you are gone because of this reason, which I was like, oh, man. Because I think that guy who had too much shit on it, he made the, what was it?
The Shishito Peppers, Valentine?
Yeah, but I was thinking of the I Think You Should Leave sketch where it's like, there's too much
too
shit.
Too much shit on me.
Yeah, because even then he was like, I didn't get to put the pickle
thing. And they're like, that's good. You're good. Please do not pour more things.
There's already so much.
I feel like that's real like early Top Chef mistake is admitting your own mistakes.
Sure.
And it's like, buddy, you got to have a poker face about this. You just put it out there and you smile and say, yep, that's exactly what I meant for it to be.
I thought the exact same thing. I was like, why would you even admit it? Especially if you're giving it to them. Because even if, like, I feel like that's a thing where they can taste it and it's good. But then they could taste like there was supposed to be something else.
Yeah.
But sometimes I think it is necessary, right? Like, I think maybe later on, but it's like if they kind of know their style already and they know that if they don't say they were missing something, but then then they're like, oh, this is like not great. It doesn't feel like they knew the vision. But then if they say, oh, there was supposed to be this, and they're like, oh, I would have loved to see that. So he forgot that. So actually, it's more of a, like a plus that they say it because they're like, they can imagine the vision a little bit more.
Sure.
Okay.
But I think in this scenario with Valentine, I think, okay, you're good. And I think that's a thing they'll learn over the course of time, like when to say, when to not, right? But initially, I think, probably better to not.
It did lose you a quarter of a point because he did volunteer the information that he forgot to plate something.
And we could have not known that. And then, Kenny with the dark meat.
Yeah, I mean, you would think he'd be more excited because that's going to be the juicier, more delicious meat.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, maybe it's like you plate the hard thing first. I don't know. I'm not a professional chef. Maybe it's like you get the hard stuff out of the way and then you do the fun stuff later.
Oh, right. Save the best for last.
Yeah. All right. I have no other notes for the chicken category. Soup category. The first thing I wrote is that once again, Dan, and just like a Dan, shut up. When he presented his soup to the judges, he said, I want to do something that's a little more me, so there's some Asian ingredients in
there. I like squinted at the TV. I was like, did I miss a beat in the
Is he
yeah, a
something?
Little more me.
Right. Was he in the Asians that Kalina Bliss missed earlier in the episode?
Yeah.
Dan stands up. Excuse me.
I do feel like we owe an apology to Savannah because this was the critique that we gave her during the draft last week was that she is a white lady who cooks at a Japanese restaurant.
Yes.
And then Dan volunteered with like, I also cook Asian food. Hello. Over here.
Yeah.
I'm from Wisconsin.
Yeah,
that's the worst version. That's actually, you know.
Right. Dan, I think I did know that of his bio, but I was like a little bit like, I don't think he'll lean into this in the way
that's
that hers.
I
was it's kind of top of mind.
Yeah.
But
I was
wrong.
Leaned into it.
Immediately,
first episode.
Right.
Savannah did follow us back on Instagram. I don't know if she's listened, but she has.
Yes.
Hi, Savannah.
Hello, Savannah.
Thanks for listening.
Yeah.
We're rooting for
big
you.
Big fans.
Yes.
But
fans.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I will say that, you know, when she did end up being our last pick, it was sort of like a hey. Prove us wrong, you know what I mean? And maybe she did. Already she didn't get eliminated.
Clearly already has.
Already has, so.
And, you know, her little, like, opening package up top was she was amongst the group of people who did not raise their hand for, like, Michelin star, James Beard Award winner. And she even said, like, I'm still kind of finding my culinary voice. So I think she knows, you know what I mean? She's, like, she's not lacking self-awareness. Yeah, cool. Exactly.
But, yeah, that made me, I love an underdog. Mm-hmm. I love someone who I feel like that is a sign, you know, in producer brain that we're going to see some growth.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm excited to see said growth.
Okay, also in the soup category. This goes in the same category to me as stuffed gnocchi, where I'm like, why are all these chefs having these ideas? Charlie topped his corn soup with pickled shrimp, and no one batted an eye or said a fucking thing. And I'm like, Am I going crazy? Am I the only person in the world who's never heard of pickled shrimp?
Yeah, no, I haven't heard of that either. As a matter of fact, when I saw it, I thought he was going to say lobster, especially because he mentioned his New England roots.
Yeah.
And I was like, usually like lobster or crab.
Yeah,
is like the new,
yeah, yeah.
Like shrimp.
A little more southern.
Yeah. Okay, I'm not crazy. Like, it was very weird. And mind you, I'm watching this in Boston, so I'm
in
getting,
the chutes.
Yeah.
I'm in the chutes.
Yes.
Thank you so much for using it. I was in the chutes. And I'll tell you, the Delta Sky Lounge had really good clam chowder. Because I was on the way
out.
I was like, I didn't get any clam chowder in the Sky Lounge. Good job.
Wow. Shout out to Delta Sky Lounge.
Yeah.
But
please sponsor us.
Yes.
I do feel like the judges say something about the shrimp didn't feel pickled?
It wasn't
or something?
Pickled
yeah.
enough.
Yeah, which was like, enough. Oh, so there's even a pickled enough.
If they were like, wow, pickled shrimp, what a weird exotic thing. But they were like, not pickled shrimp enough. And I was like,
what?
Am I going crazy?
Yeah, whoa.
Yeah, okay. That's all I have to say about soups. Anything else?
I just want to do a quick Google search on
pickled shrimp.
and if the episode comes up first,
then we know. Yeah, exactly. Pickled we can take shrimp. This moment to say this episode is brought to you by Saratoga Spring Water.
Yes.
Sierra, you brought this in.
I sure did. I'm a big Saratoga fan. I totally comes from Top Chef.
I can't tell how serious you're being.
No, I am very serious. So here's the thing. So Top Chef, right, when they talk about the prize money, it's $250,000
yes.
furnished by, used to be, San Pellegrino.
That's right.
Then 1 year it changed, furnished by, should we do a pickled shrimp interruption?
Yeah.
New York Times cooking.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
We are somehow out of the loop.
That's okay. That's
what are they pickling? Just in a nice,
just like a vinegar,
lemon. Yeah.
Yeah. It seems like there's many different ways. There's a southern style and versatile.
I feel okay. Look, there's no way to say what I'm about to say without sounding like an asshole.
Yeah, go for it.
This is a safe space, right?
Yeah,
the internet
yeah,
is
yeah,
a safe
yeah.
space.
Oh, totally,
yes,
totally.
I feel like I'm a pretty well-versed eater.
Me too.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I feel like I eat out. I've been to nice restaurants.
Oh, no. Uh-huh.
And I'm like relatively adventurous with my eating.
Yeah.
I'm not picky. I'm not allergic to anything. I've never once in my fucking life heard of pickled shrimp.
Me either. This is new to me. Feels like a Berenstain Bears situation.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Mandala.
They're trying to get over on us.
It's
always existed.
Yeah.
Shazam or
yeah.
whatever. Or Kazam.
Yeah.
Whatever that one was.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I do. I mean, you know, this is how gullible I am. If anything comes up on Top Chef or anything, I just go, I guess I missed out on that. I mean, I'm going to go, I better show up. Iffy and Mike are going to know what that is. I better pretend I know what that is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, yeah. We still didn't investigate stuffed gnocchi. Imagine, just for a second, you didn't read the menu close enough. You put a fork in your gnocchi, you bite into it, and there's something in it.
Just goo.
I know. I'd be like, what is happening? Wait.
Someone messed up.
Yeah, because like I feel like the big thing with gnocchi is its denseness.
Yeah. Just one like full pillow of potato all the way through.
Yeah, you don't want your tooth to hit other textures on the way from one end of gnocchi
to the
other.
I don't know, guys. Wait a second. You know what I have had, though?
Here we go.
Voltaggio's, I believe Michael Voltaggio's egg yolk gnocchi.
Whoa.
And that has a stuffed quality because he makes it in the gnocchi shape, but you bite into it and it's like a yolk. It's like a runny yolk situation.
Way.
So in a way, I'm like, I could see maybe biting into gnocchi getting a little something, but I think that's why.
Yes, you might have won me over.
Hey,
I'll try that.
I mean, he was kind of famous for that. I don't know where to get that anymore, though, because his restaurant closed.
Yeah, got to look into that.
Yeah.
Have you guys been to Alimento in Silver Lake?
No.
At the end of the season, we're going to do a supercut of all the restaurants that we mentioned.
I think it's very important for us to mention all our
Alimento has one of my, I think, most underrated pasta dishes in L.A., which is the brodo and tortellini. Or I think they call it tortellini and brodo, like, reverso or something like that. But, like, we all know tortellini and brodo, which is, like, little tortellinis in a soup, right?
Yes.
And they do it backwards where it's almost like a soup dumpling. It's, like, pasta with soup inside.
Yeah.
And so you just get a dry plate of, like, five tortellini, but you bite in, it, like, explodes with soup.
Yeah.
It's so
hell
good.
Yeah.
Maybe that'll be our grand prize meal.
All right, yeah.
We'll put it on the board.
Yeah.
Yeah. Among many.
Yeah, many options. All right, so the end of the challenge comes. On the bottom, we've got David, obviously, for
Mr.
hating
Murph.
Pasta.
Yeah, just
crazy.
Not his thing, I guess.
Yeah, not my thing.
Who's, you know, if you're gluten intolerant, maybe, but what human being, let alone chef,
sure,
doesn't like pasta? Okay, that's a matter of opinion.
Yeah, I mean,
agree. I assume it's because he doesn't make it. Is that, or he just doesn't like it? Or it's like the defensive thing where it's like, oh, well, you didn't like it. Well, then it's not my thing.
Yeah.
I don't know. One of those three options.
He strikes me as the latter.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. I think that was very, very, I think the last thing you want to do is like get a note from the chefs and be like, well, it's not my thing. It's like, okay.
Yeah.
Right. Right. Well, then
I guess then I take it back.
I mean, pasta was also not Michelle's thing.
Yeah.
Her thing is grilling, and she fucking crushed it.
Oh God. Yeah. You're right. That's a very good point.
There you go.
Gosh. She didn't, ooh, and she never said that. Right. Yeah. Damn. Yo. Next time.
All right. So we got David on the bottom. We got Kenny on the bottom for missing his dark meat, which is just like, it feels like a technicality.
Yeah. It's
like,
it definitely did. It felt like it really, like, even in the way that they presented it and said it, like they're like, you forgot this thing. So you're like, almost like that is why.
Right. Yeah.
Which sucked, but at least, you know, I'm like, Kenny, you're in a ballpark though. You know?
Yeah.
I'd much rather you get knocked out for a technicality than not having the skill.
Because then that also means that you can fight your way back in last chance kitchen. You know what I mean?
And it would have been, I mean, the extra point because you had guessed that he was going to get out first because his face
that
made
is
a,
true.
He had made too a much get love. Out first kind of look. But it didn't happen. So we were wrong in the end.
So those are the people on the bottom. On top, and this is what I'll call the judges table because it's our top three dishes. Yes. We got Michelle with her pasta.
Yes.
Which did look good.
Oh, yeah. I wanted to taste it. I wish they would have showed more shots of them eating it because they were talking about the thinness, but we really didn't get to see
it. Yeah. I want to see a cross-section. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, that sounded great.
But I love the roasted corn on top. A lot of corn, unsurprisingly. We're in Wisconsin.
And I love corn,
fucking
too.
Love corn.
There's a corn capolacci that Hippo does.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
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 Hippo's great. Not in season now. Right now, they got the brown butter. I think it's a tortellini, or either way.
Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah. The second you go to Hippo and you sit down, you just get the Hippo roll. It's like, you know what I mean? I could be happy there. We got Danny with his gangster chicken. Danny loves gangster as an adjective.
Cook gangster food. Did he say, that was sort of his thing.
I'm ready to see the evolution of gangster from Danny. He's real into it.
So we got Michelle's pasta, we got Daniel's gangster chicken, and Manny's pozole, which looked so good.
That was incredible, yeah.
Oh, yeah, but, you beautiful. Know, it's, here we go. Speaking of, like, technicality and stuff, the biggest takeaway, and I knew he was going to get it the moment they said it, was when they were like, the technique to get the cabinet. I was like, well, that's a wrap. Like, they didn't have to. The moment the judges start talking about technique, they're going to give it to you. Like, because that's what it's all about. They
said that about Danny's, too. When he kept listing, like, oh, and it's got, like, a miso carrot puree or whatever. They're like, that's, you used the most of your time.
Yeah.
You did a lot. You showed a lot of technique in 2 hours or whatever time they had.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So that was great. So, then comes the biggest twist of the episode so far, which is no one is getting eliminated immediately. There is, as we would say on Drag Race, a cook for your life.
Yes.
Ooh.
An immediate cook-off. And the challenge is to cook something in 20 minutes, which is not a lot of time.
Yeah.
You can barely make box mac and cheese in 20 minutes.
Oh. Yeah.
20 Never. Minutes is crazy, but they have 20 minutes and they have to cook with all the garbage in the kitchen.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which is, I would argue, what makes David's defeat so much worse, because his whole thing is cooking with garbage.
I did not make that connection, but you're right. He's the upcycler.
He comes on the show. He's like, here's what I do. I cook garbage.
Yeah. And then you get the chance. And he's still like, well, you know, and I didn't like how much he kept like hitting on the fact that Amanda took his fish. It was like, it wasn't your fish.
Don't throw someone under the bus.
Yeah, and I was like, and if it was that serious, why didn't you try and work something out with her, try and split it? No, you made it a her thing. And you still had all that shrimp there.
Yeah.
And they're like asking you what you're doing. And you're like, I'm just throwing this and I'm throwing that.
Right.
It just wasn't a good showing, I think, for him in general, let alone, I think, before they even tasted the food. Like I said, they already had a bad taste in their mouth.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna pass a little judgment here on David, and I don't know him, so who knows? But
he's right behind you.
It is it is he's taking a plane from like Austin straight into this house. he's just kind of like, but anyway, it's giving a little bit of like in elementary school when I would like beat a boy at checkers or like that sounds okay. Like I'm 1,000 years old.
I know what you mean.
Or like, you know, horse or whatever.
Sure.
And like, they'd be like, oh, I wasn't trying. And you're like, okay, well, then what are we doing? Yeah. You know what I mean?
Like fragile masculinity.
Yeah, it's a little bit like, okay, well, if I can't, you know. So, I mean, even, you know, it might be the thing where it's like the chaos in the kitchen when the judges are watching is a little bit of like, well, if I look like I don't know what I'm doing, then if I actually don't, you know, if this dish doesn't come out as good as I want it to be, then like I can blame it on the fact that like, well, I didn't know what I was doing and Amanda took my fish.
It's a little, you can't fire me, I quit.
Yeah,
you know
yeah,
I mean?
I think that, yeah, exactly. Like, I think that was the feel and, you know, I don't know. That's just from a third party perspective.
Yeah. And I totally forgot that upcycle thing and that makes it even, it does make it worse. It's like, no, this is your, so even without the fish, you should have nailed something.
It would be like if Michelle went out for barbecue. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's like, that's your whole thing, man.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know. But I also, I'm still going to try his restaurant.
And hopefully they'll let us still enter even then.
Yeah, I'm sure it's great.
Yes. We're going to show up and our pictures are going to be at the front door.
Don't let these three in. Okay, so David's dish looked insane and not good. Or I think it looked good.
It looked
good.
Much better than what I thought it was going to be, right? Yeah. Given the chaos. Yeah.
Yes, me too. I was like, oh, this isn't as bad based on all the noises you were making.
exactly right.
The critique on Kenny's dish was that it was sloppy, which actually did worry me because the chicken, I was like, he did great. He's on the bottom for a technicality.
Yes.
But then they were like, the chopping was rough on his salad. Yeah. Like he rushed it. And I'm like, is that panic or is he, as you rightfully called in our draft, is he just sort of like going to be an early go home?
Yes. Guy. Yeah, you know, I feel like at this point it's only time will tell because they're not going to get the immunity, right? Because the winner's got the immunity this time
around. So Manny's got the immunity for the next episode.
Yeah, but I guess going forward now the people who win elimination get the
immunity for the next elimination.
Yeah.
Amanda's dish actually looked pretty good. She had the best of the three in that little Cook for Your Life challenge.
Yeah, definitely. And it seems like they were disappointed with the seasoning.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And they also felt it was kind of sloppy, too.
So you've got real highs and lows in this episode.
Yeah. Truly. Sure. Especially with, like, you know, my front runner. You know, it is interesting to see her struggling. But I think you're right. I think it is the jitters. I think she's going to bounce back and be stronger than ever.
Yeah. I also liked her little opening package where she was like a cosplayer, a LARPer or whatever. I'm like, what an adorable little nerd.
Yeah, lots of interests.
We love a varied, what's the word I'm looking for? Not varied, like just a chef with hobbies.
yeah.
A life outside the kitchen.
Yeah. Who knew it could be a thing?
So Manny won. David is eliminated. But David could still come back in Last Chance Kitchen.
That's true. Yeah.
We'll see how he does.
Down but
could
not
be
out.
A wake-up call.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so let's do a points breakdown. Let's tally up our points. If you need a refresher on the rules, you can find those at Top Chef Fantasy League on Instagram, which is also where you can find our teams and follow us throughout the season. This is a point of contention that I want to bring up for debate.
Yes.
Manny said, I'm going to make chicken stock in 2 hours, which is crazy. But he did not say, chicken stock usually takes like 10 hours to make. So my inclination is he does not get the points for this dish usually takes X amount of time to make. And he's on my team. It would behoove me to say he gets the points, but I don't think he gets the points.
Okay.
I like that. We'll set the precedent right there.
Sure,
you have to say the line.
Yeah.
You have to say
right.
Blank.
Usually takes
Yeah,
X.
usually takes
yeah,
X.
I think so.
He didn't say that. He just said making it in 2 hours, kind of crazy.
Yeah.
But didn't specify the, you know, the usual, the standard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he didn't set the standard that was being broken.
All right, so no points there. We do lose points because Kenny missed plating dark meat.
Yep.
Valentine admitted that he missed plating his pickled shallots, which, again, we've talked about. Just shut your mouth, man. The judges' table, weird format for this episode again, but we'll call it those top three dishes. So that's Michelle, Danny, and Manny each get 1 point.
Yes.
And Manny won the elimination challenge, so that's an extra 2 points there.
Yes.
I will not award an episode sweep bonus this episode because there was no quickfire.
All right.
Like, someone could make the argument that, like, oh, he won the whole episode, but there's only one challenge. So I'm going to say
yes.
All right. Noble, noble.
Oh, I also wanted to say that Manny winning the first challenge hopefully means he wins the whole thing, because that, according to TopChefStats.com, which is a website I have no affiliation with. I found this a couple years ago. I love it. Whoever makes this does a really good job keeping it up. There have been 6 times in history that the winner of the whole season won the first elimination challenge.
Wow.
Which, out of 20 seasons, is not great. But it's a non-zero number. So Manny could be setting a precedent here for winning the whole thing.
Okay.
That's what I'm hoping. Actually, according to TopChefStats.com, winning restaurant wars is more indicative of who's going to win the whole thing.
Sure. I mean, that's further down the lines.
So we got to worry about that in like 6-7 weeks. That's a problem for future us.
Exactly.
So as of right now, here's how the leaderboard looks. Currently in last place with a half a point, iffy.
Yeah.
How you feeling about that?
I feel like I can bounce back. I mean, I didn't expect to come out on top this week after two of my chefs were in the elimination.
Right,
so,
right.
But like you said, we got a lot of season left. It's very early. We're going to rock it out.
Okay. I like that attitude. In second place with 1 point, Sierra. How you feeling about bringing up the middle?
I mean, not too bad considering, you know, I mean, I got to have points because I lost a guy, you know,
you
potentially.
Lost a whole guy.
Yeah. So that's like, you know, can't be getting quotes from them. Can't be getting top dish or whatever. This isn't top whatever.
Right. Right.
No. Yeah. So I think it's, I'm feeling good about it, and we'll see what happens. Like if he says, lots to go. So I'm counting on my remaining 4.
Okay. I love that. And I am on top with 3 points, strictly due to Manny. Feels like a big lead, but having done this before, I'll tell you, I could go down in flames very quickly. We'll see how next week goes. But I am proud of Manny. I'm proud of picking him. And he gets hotter by the minute.
Hell yeah.
What a guy with the pozole, you know?
I think that's it for this week. Anything else?
No. Let's get ready for next week. I think I'm gonna put my faith in my team. I think none of them are gonna make the bottom.
Whoa!
Wow!
What a statement.
Calling it. This is Babe Ruth pointing out to the stands.
We're safe this week.
Hey, if you like this podcast and you're like, I want to do this with my friends, you can. Feel free to borrow our rules. We don't care. We don't own it. just tag us. Someone did. April, I think, was her name. Someone like posted her league and tagged us. So thanks to April.
Yeah, shout out April.
Doing a Top Chef Fantasy League. Tag us if you do your own. It's fun for us. Or if you have any thoughts or suggestions on Top Chef or on Top Chef Fantasy League, and drops a line at that same Instagram at Top Chef Fantasy League. If you want to see the full unedited episodes, you can check us out on YouTube. Same name there. We edit the audio version down so it's nice and clean, but the YouTube version I don't touch because I'm lazy. So if you want to see the ums and ahs and my dog licking his balls, you can check us out on YouTube.
The director's uncut.
Yeah.
Crazy long Zack Snyder cut.
Thanks again to my co-hosts, Sierra Cotto and Iffy Wadiway.
Thank you.
We have new episodes every Monday. We decided Mondays.
Mondays.
That's it. Thanks for listening. Top Chef Fantasy League is hosted and produced by Mike Cavalon, Sierra Cotto, and Iffy Wadiway. Our theme song is composed by Dylan Van Auken. Special thanks to Jarvis Johnson. Follow us on Instagram and YouTube at Top Chef Fantasy League.